the incredible shrinking middle class.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Jeremy Hobson. In a speech last night, President Obama took up the mantle of the middle class, saying it was under attack from wealthy interests.
Today, we're still home to the world's most productive workers. We're still home to the world's most innovative companies. But for most Americans, the basic bargain that made this country great has eroded.
Is the middle class really shrinking? For that, we turn to our own Gregory Warner. He joins us live. Good morning, Gregory.
Good morning.
So, Gregory, how unequal are we right now?
Well, the middle class is shrinking. The president quoted from last month's report by the CBO that the income for the top 1% is up 250%. There's a study, I think, out of Stanford University that brings these numbers home in a different way. So if you figure 1970, most of us, two out of three Americans, lived in middle income neighborhoods. In 2007, less than half do. So when they say the American middle class is shrinking, it's not just take home pay. I mean, it's literally who your neighbors are. It's where your schools are. It's your community.
Turning then to the wealthiest community in the country, which is Washington, D.C., what's the latest political deadlock?
Well, payroll tax cuts. President Obama has been pushing to extend these tax breaks to next year, and this would increase your take-home pay by about 2% or 3% extra on your paycheck. The debate, of course, is how to pay for it. Democrats want to pay for this with a temporary tax on millionaires. Republicans are against that, and that's up for a vote tomorrow, which is predicted to fail, but who knows? Things are shifting.
Our own Gregory Warner in Philadelphia. Thank you, Gregory.
Thanks a lot.
And speaking of deadlock, tomorrow the Senate will vote in the confirmation hearing of Richard Cordray as head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Cordray is the former Ohio Attorney General. He was picked over Elizabeth Warren to head the CFPB, partly because he was thought to be more politically neutral. But now Republicans say they will block Cordray's nomination anyway. David Lazarus is the consumer columnist for the LA Times. He joins me now. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So, David, what's the problem? Why are Senate Republicans threatening to block Cordray's nomination?
Well, they say that they feel that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau needs more accountability and more transparency, so they want to see some structural changes to it. That's their story. What consumer advocates are saying is these guys basically want to water down the agency and make it friendlier to businesses. And the key change that they want to make is to do away with the director altogether and instead bring in a five-person commission that advocates say would be more easily influenced by industry. It would have Republicans, it would have Democrats, and as we've seen with the Federal Communications Commission, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, when you've got a mixture of ideologies on the commission, business has a few more ways of getting their point across.
What does this mean for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is, for those who don't remember, the centerpiece for the 2010 Dodd-Frank Financial Reform Act?
What it means is not all of the things that the agency can do are being done right now. And it is doing many of its things. It's overseeing credit cards. It's overseeing mortgages. It's doing that kind of thing. But some of the new things that the agency is appointed to look after, such as payday loans, it cannot do until it has a director in place. And moreover, it's leaderless at the moment. It just simply does not have someone running the show. Elizabeth Warren built it up from scratch, and now she's out of the picture. And so until we bring in Richard Cordray or whoever to run this thing, well, basically it's not going to get any momentum until a new leadership is in place.
And if you don't mind getting your crystal ball out now, David, what do you think is going to happen with this vote?
So what we can expect going forward is probably a recess appointment, likely in January. And the president will appoint Cordray then. And then there'll be a whole new fight as the Republicans scream about the fact that the president has circumvented due process. And the president has said these guys are trying to block consumer protection. And once again, the game will continue.
David Lazarus is the consumer columnist for the LA Times. David, thank you.
Thank you.
News that a bigger bailout is on the way in Europe has markets on a tear this morning. European markets are up. Germany's DAX is up 1.1%. U.S. markets were mixed yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.4% to close at 12,150. Shares of Citigroup fell 0.25%. The banking giant announced plans to lay off 4,500 workers.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The Food and Drug Administration is set to rule today on a request to remove age restrictions from the morning after contraceptive pill. Plan B is currently kept behind pharmacy counters, and you have to be at least 17 to buy it. If the FDA approves, Plan B could soon move to store shelves. Bob Moon has more.
Sales of the Plan B pill have been on the rise since the drug received its age-restricted over-the-counter status 5 years ago, and future sales could be astronomical if it comes out from behind the counter altogether. So says Professor Ken Caton at the Tufts University School of Medicine. He says drug makers have learned they can milk more profits from their popular brand names by removing the requirement for a prescription.
In fact, in many cases, the sales of the over-the-counter product exceeded the sales of the patented product, in other words, when it was still prescription only.
Consider the first year that blockbuster allergy treatment Claritin was approved for non-prescription use. Sharing Plow saw a 90% jump in sales of its over-the-counter drugs. Laura Maecha follows the healthcare industry for Klein Market Research. She says there's another benefit. Non-prescription drugs tend to be cheaper, although insurance companies end up saving the most.
Once it goes OTC, they no longer have to cover it.
So consumers end up paying for the convenience. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And finally, Supreme Court TV could be coming to a basic cable package near you. Congress is reportedly trying to pass a bill that would require Supreme Court proceedings to be televised, part of an effort to make the high court more transparent. Some justices have spoken out against the idea, but I think it could be a hit. The Honorable Simon Cowell has a certain ring to it. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
From Bling Bling to Warren Buffett, we are kind of obsessed with the rich.
I don't think our tax system is very equitable. And I think it drifted dramatically, you know, in the last 10 years toward favoring rich guys like me. So I pay a lower tax rate on much of my income than my cleaning lady does.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. As Congress debates the payroll tax cut, how rich is rich? Gallup explains next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.